Hi, I'm Joan Hordyke.
And I'm Neil Hordyke.
And we are so thankful for our church family.
Yes, praise the Lord.
I'm thankful for another year of health and my church family here and all my friends that have helped me get through a lot of stuff.
I'm Ruby Martin, and after my Savior, I'm most thankful for my son Doug and daughter-in-law Connie, who provides me a happy home.
I'm thankful for my church family.
I am thankful for Grandma.
I'm Jeanette Carter, and I'm thankful for a grandmother years ago that took me to church as a little girl and led me to the Lord.
I'm thankful for my great-grandma.
I'm thankful for my great-grandma.
We think the same thing.
I am thankful for my amazing kiddos.
I am thankful for my awesome family.
I'm thankful for family and all that they do for each other.
I'm thankful for my church family.
I'm Bob Matheson, and I'm thankful for God's faithfulness in the daily strength He gives and for my church family that encourages me.
I'm thankful for Jesus because we get to live and be happy!
What are you thankful for today? What do you think? You don't have to answer. We are entering into a season of Thanksgiving, and typically I would do a sermon the Sunday before Thanksgiving, but as the Lord and I kind of talked about it together, it just seemed to please Him that we would do a whole month of Thanksgiving and not just preach about it, but I'm going to encourage you guys to get engaged in giving thanks in some ways. And so we have every week of this, all four Sundays, we have different people that'll be talking about what they're thankful for. And that little guy that didn't talk up there, it's because he didn't talk until he had something really to be thankful for. So he's going to give it eventually. So you got to keep coming back if you want to figure out what it is. So that's our hook. You never know what Sunday that will be in all of that. And it's been fun to watch them as well. So one of the things I do want to give thanks for today, many of you may know that today is the day of prayer for the persecuted church. And so around the world, the body of Christ is praying for those who pay a high price to follow Jesus or who live in constant fear. And I know it's a little disconnected from us because, I mean, we think we're being persecuted if it snows and we're worried about getting up the hill to get to church, you know. But there are a lot of people that face very, very real threats. It came home for me when I was in my last church, and I had a seminary student from India. And he and his friend, he was a preacher before he came to seminary, he and his friend were beaten and left for dead because they were Christians. And so it's a real thing. And so I'm going to pause here in just a minute and pray. And I want you to be thankful too. I want you to remember. Remembering's a big deal. Remember how good we have it. We have such freedom in America to worship the Lord, to gather as we want. And we should all be very grateful for that. And we should all be lifting our brothers and sisters in Christ who pay to follow Him. Amen? Would you bow your head? Father God, Lord, we come to this Thanksgiving time with great, great joy, Father. We are blessed beyond all reason, and to be anything less than thankful would be ungrateful on our part, Father. Thank you for the freedoms we have as a nation, Lord, that our people can gather anytime, any place, that we can tell people about you, Lord. We just thank you for the great nation. Thank you, Father, for those that have put their life on the line to make us free, for our military, Father. Thank you for those that serve in our country, our first responders, Father, the medical people. Lord, we are so blessed. We're just so blessed. And yet we remember that our brothers and sisters in Christ, many of them live in places where they live in constant fear that if someone were to find out, they could lose their life. Or if they were to share the gospel and be overheard, that they could be hauled into prison. And yet they do, Father. And so we ask your protection upon the persecuted church. And we ask, Father, your strength for them. We pray, Father, that you would watch over them. And we pray, Father, that your kingdom would come and that your love would be advanced in those places, Father. Thank you for partnership. Help us as we help them, we pray, Father. Be now glorified as we turn to your word, Lord, that you might change us and make us more like you. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I've been thinking about Thanksgiving, like I said, I put a lot more time and energy into it this year. Just kind of thought about the larger sort of thing. And so one of the things that's kind of cropped up for me as I kind of reflected on my own relationship to Thanksgiving is that I tend to put a lot of Thanksgiving on Thanksgiving Day. I tend to think about this. So here's a question I kind of started grappling with, and we're going to grapple with a little bit today, and that's this. Does the Thanksgiving holiday get in the way of giving thanks biblically? You understand those are different things, right? Thanksgiving is a specific holiday. You all have food and friends and football and turkey and dressing and traditions and time off from work and cooking fancy things. And how many of you get out the fancy silverware at Thanksgiving? Anybody beside that's like the one time of year we get out the fancy silverware. You know, do you ever get out the fancy silverware? We don't. We just don't do that anymore. How many of you like Thanksgiving? Okay, good. Yeah, we all like Thanksgiving, and there is a tradition for a lot of us that before we eat, we started this with our family. We'll go around the table, and everybody has to say one thing they're thankful for. Anybody do that besides our family? Are we just weird? Or okay, yeah, I know there's a lot of families that do that. I know the kids are like, oh, we want to eat. You got to sit there and try and think of something you're thankful for while smelling everything in that. It's kind of a little form of torture that parents enjoy, and so. So we will go around and we'll share. You get, you know, a few seconds. Everybody's hoping they don't get called on first because they haven't thought yet. 30 seconds. You think of something, family, God, you know, something like that. And then it's over. We clean it up and we move on. And there's a sense sometimes for Americans, we feel like we've kind of checked off the Thanksgiving box. You know, I've been thankful this year. You know, man, was I thankful. I slept for an hour afterwards. I was really thankful this season, you know. And so here's the deal. Culturally, Thanksgiving is an event, isn't it? People stop work, they drive in, you go be with grandma, or grandma comes to you. We do it. It's just a part of what we're about. We enjoy it. But there's a tendency then to kind of go, okay, well, we've done our Thanksgiving. And most of the rest of the year, giving thanks is kind of reduced to being polite, kind of a social obligation that we have. Someone gives you something, you say thank you. They do something for you, you say thank you. But for a lot of people, we don't give it a lot more thought than that. And so for the next 4 weeks, we're going to give it some more thought about intentionality here. And so I just wanted to, don't raise your hand or tell me, you know, but how many of you in the last year have done something significant, intentional to express gratitude to someone else in your life? Some of you have, and that's really good. You know, how often have you done that? I mean, did you do it twice a year, you know, four times a year, once a quarter? You know, do you do it monthly? Do you do it weekly? Do you do it daily? What place does Thanksgiving have in your life? And so I want to kind of put this out here before we get to the verse, but there's tons and tons of verses about thanks and gratitude in the Bible. And here's what it kind of comes down to. Biblically, Thanksgiving is a lifestyle. Culturally, Thanksgiving is an event. We go Thanksgiving, you know, everybody gets together. But biblically, it's not an event. It's a way of living in the world. A lifestyle is a pervasive habit or a reflex. It's a part of our culture. It's just kind of automatically the way we relate to the world. Our lifestyle is a certain way. And a part of that for followers of Jesus is this idea of gratitude. And biblically, giving thanks is supposed to be so embedded in our being that it becomes kind of a knee-jerk reaction, that we automatically give thanks, that when in doubt, give thanks in some way. And so I'll just lay it out for you this morning. I'm going to try and expand your understanding of Thanksgiving. And I may stretch some of you a little bit. Nobody ever says amen when I say I'm going to stretch them a little bit. It's always silence across, like, oh, no, not again, you know. But you know what? That's kind of my job. You didn't come to learn about mechanics or arithmetic. The one thing I know anything about is spirituality, and that's what the Bible teaches. And so Scripture has a lot to say about this. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. It's just three verses, and we're going to kind of look at it because I think it's a good jumping off place for the rest of it. It's 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. You Bibles, or if you have it on a Bible app, our app has a Bible in it or some other, grab that. There are three things said here in this particular passage. First, he says, rejoice always. Okay, that's a lot. Never stop praying. Give thanks in all circumstances. And then on this one, he gives an explanation. for this is God's will for you who belong to Jesus Christ. So this is the will for people who are followers of Jesus Christ. If you are not a follower of Jesus Christ, you are not obliged to do this, okay? At the end, I'll show you some real benefits of this. I think it'll be helpful for you if you're not a follower of Jesus. But if you're a follower of Jesus, this is God's will for our lives. In fact, all three of these are in imperative. That means they're commands. This isn't God saying, hey, if you find time, or it would be nice if. This is do this, okay? And so let me give you just kind of background in the words in all of this. Many of you know, I like the original language because it's so rich and it has meaning to it. So the word rejoice there isn't actually an emotional word. When we think of rejoice, we think of emotions. But this is actually a word that is used for a greeting. It's almost a blessing. It's this idea of being rejoicing, of being positive, being upbeat to people, of encouraging people is kind of the idea here, more than a feeling of joy. It's be encouraging to people. Rejoice always, okay? It's a blessing on one another. And the second one is prayer, and he says, never stop praying. And Paul was the one that really got the idea of prayer as a conversation with God. And I know for some of you who've been in the church a long time, you get that. Some of you others, they think of prayer as something that you kind of got to structure and figure out. And they kind of model prayer around what those of us who are pastors do in front of you. That's a horrible model for prayer. That's public prayer, okay? Real prayer, private prayer, that's not real. I didn't mean to say that. but most of prayer is this ongoing conversation with God. And so pray continually in all you do. Never stop in all of that. And then this last one is the tough one. Give thanks in all circumstances. And the word there means every single one. Okay, it's all of them plus everyone individually. There are no exceptions. In all circumstances, we are to give thanks. And I'll be honest with you, when I first stumbled across that, I thought, you know, this seems almost cruel because there are certain circumstances where giving thanks is not the first thing that comes to mind for me. Amen? You know, we all have those. That's not what it's about. And so I thought, well, Paul, what do you know, what's the deal with all of this? And then I got to reflecting on it a little bit, and it occurred to me that the people that he's writing to in the first century, they live way harder lives than we do. Life expectancy was much, much lower. People, this is before modern medicine. People were in pain a lot. It was before antibiotics, all kinds of infections and things that didn't get corrected, and their understanding of cleanliness and all of those sorts of things. It was very difficult for them. Most people had lost someone close to them. Women died in childbirth regularly. Children died regularly. They lived hard, difficult sorts of lives. Most of the early Christians were peasants. They weren't on the top. They lived hand to mouth, and they were under the heel of dictators that could order their death without even thinking about it. You crossed a Roman guard the wrong way and you'd get in all kinds of trouble. And so they had hard lives, and it is to them that he says, give thanks in all circumstances. Now I got to think a little bit about Paul, who wrote these words, right? Well, Paul lived a horrendously difficult life. He actually started out kind of on the top of society. He was a part of the Sanhedrin, the religious leaders of the Jews. And when he became a follower of Christ, he literally jettisoned all of that. And the people who were his friends and who gave him privilege and advantage suddenly turned against him. And he all of a sudden, he's the guy that, you know, he's been beaten. He's been stoned and left for dead. He's been in shipwrecks. He's been bitten by snakes. He's traveled all over. He's had all these things happen to him. He's been in jail for Christ, and he says, give thanks in all circumstances. And that kind of changed my perspective a little bit, because the reality is that I don't live nearly as a hard life as they do, and you don't live nearly as hard a life as they do. And so maybe Paul was onto something that we don't quite get. We think if we're suffering that there's something wrong, and Paul had a little different perspective when he told us to give thanks in all circumstances. So I want us to look a little bit at this word, give thanks. In the original language, it means give thanks. It's eucharistio. Say eucharistio. Yeah, remember I told you what another word for the communion is? Eucharist. Yeah, it comes for the, it's the same word basically, and it means give thanks. And so there's this really cool kind of thing going on where the early church is kind of connecting this idea of giving thanks and the Lord's table. giving thanks and the Lord's table, what Jesus has done for us and all that, that comes out of the Lord's table. And for them, it was a big feast they would have with their life group, because most churches were kind of in their homes together. And so there is in this, in the New Testament, whenever we talk about giving thanks or gratitude, there's a sacramental, there's a sense in which there's something more than just saying, hey, thank you. That God somehow inhabits this. There's a spiritual thing that's going on in giving thanks. And so what I want you to get here is this idea that this is important to your spiritual life. It's not just the cultural habit or good manners. That being grateful and giving thanks is something about what God wants to do in your heart and how he wants to change you. And so I want to give you a definition here. And biblically, thanksgiving is gratitude expressed. Gratitude expressed. So when we think of gratitude, we think a little bit about a feeling or a recognizing that someone has done something for us or been good to us in some sort of sense. And that's good. But if it doesn't ever get to Thanksgiving where it comes out of your mouth, I don't know if you know this, but the people around you cannot read your mind. Okay? If you don't say it, they don't know it. By the way, husbands, that's really good just to keep in mind in general. I know it seems like she can read your mind sometimes, but she can't. Okay? You have to say it. And words become an important sort of thing in our relationships. God can read your mind. He knows you're thankful, and yet he says to express it anyway. But in our relationships, this giving thanks becomes really important. I'm reading a good, really good book. My wife, most of you know, works in the library system, so she's always got another good book she wants me to read. So I'm listening to this one, and there's these two books called For Men Only and For Women Only. Encourage you to get them and read them. But one of the things they're talking about, based on a big long study about men and women, was that there is this need, especially in women, to hear from their loved one that they love them. You know, you need to tell them over and over and over. It's just a part of how they're wired up. And funny or not, guys have a tendency to think, well, hey, I gave her a ring and married her. She knows I love her. Yeah. Notice that was the women laughing. The guys are like, what? That's not good enough, you know? You need to express it. And that same principle is at work in Thanksgiving. It needs to be expressed to people around you. In fact, biblically, expressing gratitude is an act of the mind and will, not emotions and feelings. And this is really important because Americans get this confused. We have a tendency to think, I will say thank you when I feel grateful, right? So I will say I love my wife when I feel love for my wife. But any of you who've been married more than a year know that love is more than a feeling. Amen? Yeah, they're the guys chimed in and all of that. They get that, you know. Doesn't get you out of saying it, but you understand it. That it's more than that. How I feel in the moment has nothing to do with whether I love my wife or not. I love my wife even when I'm irritated by her, you know. She's usually trying to make me a responsible adult, and that rubs me the wrong way sometimes, you know. And so it's important that we express it, okay. It doesn't say in the Bible, give thanks to the Lord if you feel like it. And it says, give thanks to the Lord if you're having a good day. It says, give thanks to the Lord, period. And it tells us to give thanks to one another. In fact, it's a command. It's an imperative in the original language. It's not an optional sort of thing. And the same is true of communion. When I invite you to come to the table of the Lord, I don't say, well, come if you feel like being religious today. I don't say, come if everything's going good and you don't have anything to confess and you're just like really got it together spiritually. In fact, it's maybe most important that you come to the table when it's all broken and when you're struggling and you are reminded that you have been forgiven, that the body of Christ was broken and the blood was shed for your eternal life. And so it is with the Eucharist. It is with Thanksgiving, Eucharistio. We are called to do this, to give thanks to God in all that we do. And we do it out of an act of our mind and our will, not our emotions and our feelings. In fact, emotions are the things that can kind of do it when you feel like it. But if that's all you do, you've missed it. Real gratitude is so much more than that. In fact, I would say not feeling grateful doesn't mean you shouldn't express gratitude. That's when you maybe most need to express gratitude. We Americans, we're so feelers. In fact, I will hear some people sometimes say, when I say we need to express gratitude, especially when they're talking, you know, family kinds of things, well, I don't feel like it. I don't want to be a hypocrite. Newsflash, your feelings have nothing to do with what is hypocritical, okay? Whether you owe someone gratitude has nothing to do with whether you feel it a lot. In fact, I've had to go back and say thank you to people sometimes that when they gave me the thing that I am now thankful for, I wasn't very happy about it. I had a couple of bosses that their approach to mentoring me was to tell me everything I did wrong. It was so much fun. But years later, I went back and said thank you. Because they just really gave me a leg up and taught me some things in my life. The feelings and the gratitude are not connected in our lives. In fact, your inability to feel it doesn't change the fact that you should be grateful that somebody has done something for you. And you understand this. All of you who are parents understand this. When your child gets socks from grandma for Christmas, you still make them say thank you, don't you? Yes, you do. Do you think that they're feeling thankful? No, they're not. They wanted the big train is what they want. They want socks. But you do that for two reasons. Number one, because they should be thankful. They have received a gift and you want grandma to feel like she's appreciated in all this. And number two, you are trying to mold them into the type of person that is grateful. Amen? And there's something in the discipline of making them say thank you that helps them understand this idea. And the same is true with us. We are formed by learning to say thank you whether we're grateful or not. In fact, I'm just going to get personal here. I'm going to be brutally honest. You okay with that? Good. Doesn't matter because I'm going to say it anyway. Some of us need to express gratitude a lot more. Some of you, us, need to express gratitude to our spouses a lot more. Because they put up with you. I hate to break it to you, but they put up with you. Some of you need to express gratitude to your children more. So we need to express gratitude to our friends more. We need to express gratitude to our life group more. We need to express gratitude to our employer more. That rubbed the wrong way, some of us, you know. We just, you know what? You cannot OD on gratitude. It's not possible. And so it's important that we experience this and we give it to one another. So I want to back into this verse a little bit. Give thanks in all circumstance, and then, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ. And so the first part is God's will for you. If you're a follower of Jesus, this is God's will. Sometimes it's easy to know God's will. The second part is I want to get at the idea of will here, because we think of will as choices. I choose this or I choose that. You know, we don't really attach a lot to it. But the particular word in the original language in this one carries the idea of blessing. So it's like when you make your child go the right path, it blesses them. When you teach them to work hard, that's a blessing for them, right? They don't know, you know, like, I don't know, maybe your kids were really great, but like when I was 7 and my dad was making me work hard, I did not consider it a blessing. And I didn't thank him for it. Years later, I thanked him for it, but not then. And the idea in this particular God's will for you is that God is trying to bless you when he asks you to do this. He's encouraging you. God knows that this is good for us. And so when we give thanks, we get God's blessing in our lives because we're doing what he wants. Okay? So expressing gratitude is like a spiritual super vitamin. It's important to our spiritual lives. It changes so much in us. Ladies, how many of you had like those pregnancy vitamins when you were pregnant? We have a bunch of you. Jody had those and it was like, she thought she was on drugs, man. It was like, wow, this is great stuff, you know? I never got to try them, so I don't know. But, you know, that's what I think of when I think about this. This is one of those small things that has a high impact on your spiritual life. And every time we take communion, we should come with gratitude, because it supercharges our spiritual lives. It reminds us of the way the world is. It reminds us that God has done something for us and we should be grateful in our approach to life. It's God's will that we give thanks to other people and to one another. In fact, I'd go on to say, expressing gratitude to God and others is a spiritual discipline. It's about obedience, not feelings. And this is the big difference between gratitude and our culture. It's about feeling grateful and saying it. And often when we feel grateful, we don't say it. But in the Bible, it's a spiritual discipline. Spiritual disciplines are those things we do because God told us to do, not because we feel like it. Praying is a spiritual discipline. I hope you build that into your life every day. Reading God's word is a spiritual discipline. I hope you build that into your life every day. Those things will enrich your spiritual life profoundly. Returning good for evil is a spiritual discipline. I hope that doesn't happen to you every day. But when it does, it's a spiritual discipline, and expressing gratitude is a spiritual discipline in our lives. Spiritual disciplines make us stronger spiritually. That's why he tells us to do it. That's why we do it. So I want to take Thanksgiving out of an event. I want to take Thanksgiving out of manners that you teach your kids. I want to move Thanksgiving into the realm of the spiritual and your spiritual disciplines. In fact, we need to express gratitude a lot more. Gratitude that expresses itself in Thanksgiving is an orientation to the world. I am persuaded that when we get to heaven and we see all the people that have contributed to our lives, we're going to spend the first 1,000 years just seeking out people and going and saying, I'm so sorry, I didn't thank you at the time, but you made such a big difference in my life. And Christ is saying, if you'll get that started now, you'll experience the blessings of it. The discipline of expressing gratitude creates feelings of gratitude. And here's a part of the blessing. This wonderful thing that God does in his kingdom. The more you express gratitude, the more grateful you will feel. Therefore, the more you will express gratitude, so the more grateful you will feel. And there's this powerful thing that happens. Gratitude is like a spiritual drug, man. The more you do it, the better it gets. I just want to encourage you to be a part of it. That's the way the spiritual realm is. So now quickly, we'll get done, wrap up. One of the things I believe about God and the way he works in the world is that scientists are always landing where God has already been. That all scientists do is discover how God has already wired up either the physical world or emotional world, all of those sorts of things. And so as a part of this, I ran across in a purely secular magazine, in Forbes no less, a PhD that had done this big study on gratitude and how it improved our life. And she had 7 things out of her research that were important. So I just want to give these to you just so you can see the blessing that you get when you bless others with gratitude. Number 1, gratitude opens the door to more relationships. Turns out people who are grateful have more people who want to be friends with them. You know, you've been around the person that's the grumpy bags, you know, you don't want to be friends with them. But grateful people have more relationships, better relationships. Number 2, it improves physical health. That surprised me. People who are grateful have fewer aches and pains and feel healthier. So next time you're feeling down, start telling people. In fact, even beyond that, it improves your psychological health as well. People who express gratitude on a regular basis, this has a powerful way of reducing kind of toxic emotions in our life. When you're angry and you've got all those things and you start expressing gratitude, it just has a way of kind of pushing those out, and it increases happiness in people. Number 4, it enhances empathy and reduces aggression. And the interesting thing about this is it goes both ways. When you express gratitude, you become more empathetic towards the person and you become less aggressive towards people. And people who regularly express gratitude, other people have more empathy with them and are less aggressive towards them. Isn't that fascinating? God is so cool and so smart. And then number 5, grateful people sleep better. You all need to go out and tell people you're grateful so you can sleep. How many have trouble sleeping once in a while? Am I the only one? Yeah, I'm going to do it. In fact, they did a study with them, and they had people sit down for the 15 minutes before they went to bed and just start writing out things they're grateful. And those people slept better. Better and longer when they did that, okay? Number 6, it improves self-esteem. It reduces social comparison in our lives. It's a great thing for that. Express gratitude helps with that. And then number 7, it increases mental strength. People who regularly express gratitude, and they did a study with PTSD, they recover faster from those sorts of things, and they are less damaged by traumas in their life because of that. They don't know why, but it makes you kind of emotionally strong when we express all of our gratitude to one another. So, what we're going to do is a month of Eucharist. of expressing gratitude. So I'm going to give you homework. I always wanted to give homework. And if our musicians could come, we're going to worship the Lord in giving and sing in just a minute. So I want you to do a couple of things. Number one, I want you to write down what you're grateful every day. At least one thing you are grateful for every day. It's only 4 weeks. It's the four Sundays, 28 days, okay? And then I want you to say it out loud. I want you to say it out loud to the person if you need to, if it's someone, but I want you to say it out loud. Another way you can say it out loud, and I want to challenge you, put it on social media. And then I want you to add the tag, Generations Community. It would be so encouraging to all of us if you could search the tag, Generations Community, and see all the things of the people in your church we're grateful for. I'm going to do mine this afternoon, okay? Plus, after you get through the ones that you think of naturally, you can look at other people's stuff and go, oh yeah, I'm grateful for that. That'll work too for me. So I encourage you, write it down. That'll be good for you. Number two, say it out loud. And I encourage you to say it on Facebook or Instagram or something like all of that. And then lastly, expressing gratitude is a great preparation for Advent. At the end of this series, we start the preparation for the coming of Christ. Wouldn't it be great if we came into Advent with hearts that were overflowing with gratitude to Christ? Okay, wouldn't it be great if we came into Advent with hearts that are overflowing with gratitude to Christ? Amen. All right, we're going to worship the Lord in giving if our musicians would come. Yeah, woo! Let's try that again. We're going to worship the Lord in giving. There we go. Excellent. Today, and for those of you that join us online, you can do it as well. Go to generationscommunity.org or on our app. You can give as well. Let me pray for you, and then we'll give and sing. Father God, thank you, thank you, thank you. I think I almost just want to stop right there, but thank you for all that you do to us, for us, Lord, and all the blessings you pour into us life. Make us a grateful people this month. Father, I pray that you just make this an amazing month of giving gratitude to you and expressing gratitude to one another, and we will give you all the praise and glory for us. In Jesus' name, amen.